So I guess we don't have to clap, huh? Okay.
Mike, why is your basement still broken? It's hot in here.
Yes, the air went out again. But at least this time you are here to suffer with me.
I'm just going to have to take my shirt off.
Yeah. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 14th, 2011. For the first time in a long time, I almost forgot what month it was.
Oh, man, yeah, you've been on a good streak, Mike.
Yeah, the heat's been getting to me. Oh, Christ. Welcome to our show, everybody. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Adge Guy.
Hello.
Yep, we got a broken AC again. Just too damn hot. Let's get on with it. What are we doing? We got news. Let's go topical. Yep. You know by now.
We do things.
You know what happens. Let's go. What's the news?
Okay.
Hit me.
You want the NPDs?
Sure.
Pretty rough month for the industry overall. This was like the worst since October 2006.
No, this is for July.
Yes.
Not a whole lot came out, though.
Yeah.
To be honest, but...
And then, you know, you had an announced price drop for the 3DS, so no one was buying those.
We can spend gloom and doom, though, still. Sure, the industry will, but whatever.
Right. There are only 17 new releases, actually, for the month.
Well, there you go, then.
So, let's see. Those new releases are, or at least the top-selling 10, NCAA Football, no surprise there, on 360 and PS3. Then Cars 2, actually number 2.
Not a huge surprise, really.
Black Ops on the list again.
Yeah, there'll probably be a lot of standards on here.
Lego Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep, not shocking.
Just Dance 2.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball 2K11.
Why?
Random, I don't know.
Whatever.
Zumba Fitness joined the party. Fallout New Vegas.
A new DLC came out, right? I guess. Maybe they dropped the price
then
on it.
Then new Super Mario Brothers DS.
DS? Christ.
Yep. And Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat's been doing real. Mortal Kombat has outsold Super Street Fighter 4 and Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
It's amazing when it happens, you make a good story mode in a fighting game.
Yeah.
Crack that nut.
Yeah.
It may interest you to know as well. Where did I write it down? Catherine, it was reported by the NPD, sold 78,000 copies the month of July.
Yeah, not bad for...
Pretty good for a kind of obscure Atlas-published game.
At first, Atlas said 200,000, but that ended up being copies they shipped.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, for... For what Catherine is, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Considering the barriers it had to hurdle. But I don't know. I guess some people were surprised by Cars 2, but it was a pretty competent
Mario Kart game.
Mario Kart racer.
Cars is a popular franchise.
Right. Yeah, even though like the movie did not do gangbusters.
The merchandising is doing pretty well, actually.
That's the weird thing with Cars.
Kids are going to be getting that on Blu-ray and DVD,
yeah,
I think.
They are. But yeah, nothing too shocking there, I guess. I guess we can move on.
Okay. We didn't mention it last week, I don't think, but first we had Todd Howard saying it. Now David Jaffe has chimed in to basically say they both feel that $60 is a ridiculous amount of money to charge for a video game. Of course, their games are worth it.
Oh, they said theirs are okay.
Yes.
Who said this, David Jaffe and who?
Todd Howard of Bethesda. So, you know, Todd was like, well, I mean, Skyrim, though, it's huge. That's worth $60.
So
Jaffe's
like,
well, Twisted Metal's going to be real good, so it's worth $60.
So, like, would Uncharted 3 not be worth $60 for them? What does this mean?
This is what's happening. All the developers are having this whole thing. Oh, yeah, the price of entry is too high. We need to drop the prices, blah, blah. But no one wants to make the first move.
Yeah.
You know?
No, exactly.
Until a AAA, you know, Skyrim, Call of Duty, Uncharted-level game comes out at $20 or $30.
Well, yeah, but that won't happen.
$60 is here to stay, my friends.
And it is. And, we've gone along with it okay enough at this point. Like, again, unless, like, somehow the iPhone gaming really starts taking a big hit, I'm talking about, like, the industry is going to die, which isn't going to happen.
No.
But if that happened, okay, sure. People will slash the prices. But, you know, at the same time, production is going to go down, quality will go down.
Right.
That's what you'll get.
Let's see. Jonathan Blow, creator of Braid, has revealed his next game, The Witness. Did you see it?
He hasn't revealed it. He was just showing it off.
Yeah.
Because remember, he had it at a PAX East, and, like, it was a secret. But I heard it's basically kind of like Mist.
Fine by me.
You kind of just drop it to an island, which also sounds like that who's doing a game just like that? Journey, the guys who did
Journey's
Flower.
Not an island; it's like a desert.
Yeah, but it's the same kind of thing where you just get dropped into an environment with kind of not a whole lot of direction, if any.
I don't think Journey. I know literally nothing about how Journey plays. I kind of have kept myself dark in the game so I can just kind of experience it.
From what I understand, yeah, you don't really have any direction; you just kind of wander around and find things.
Right, but I think it's more of a platformer, right?
Maybe. I don't think it's. That would kind of surprise me. I don't think it's. I don't know if it's a platformer. But yeah, the. I guess a lot of the puzzles in. What's this game called again?
Jonathan Blow's. The Witness.
The Witness. What are they all based off of? Did you read that? I remember reading it. It sounded like something simple. Like, I don't want to say a crossword puzzle, but almost something like that. Like, most of the puzzles
don't remember
are based off a simple mechanic.
Something like that.
And I wish I could remember now.
Because
I feel dumb.
They're located on blue panels. They're hard to describe.
The puzzles?
Yeah.
Really? I think they involve numbers. Maybe it's Sudoku? No. Well, that's Jinx, buy me a Coke.
There's a bunch of different puzzles. Like, according to the MTV multiplayer blog article in the game, they're saying there's some puzzles are logic-based with specific rules, some are environmental.
Not what I read.
All right, then.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there is. Well, you know how he goes. He likes to give you a concept, but then he'll play with it over and over. I'm going to find out what the hell I'm thinking of.
All right, I'll move on in the meantime.
You do
that. So a few months ago, Gamefly purchased Direct2Drive from IGN, and we're seeing the fruits of those labors. Basically, now they're going to be launching a Gamefly digital PC client, very similar to Steam, Origin, Impulse, all that stuff. Now, of course, the trick here is Gamefly is most known for their video game by mail rental service. So now Gamefly subscribers will get unlimited digital access to the PC games. It wasn't clear, and I've had a hard time figuring this out, if it's all the games in the store or if there's only like some of them, like they'll be marked as such. Mm-hmm. But they're going to be doing a closed beta in Los Angeles next month, and then it should be out to everybody by holiday. They're showing like Battlefield 3, Assassin's Creed, Revelations. Like, it's not like old games; it's new, like brand new releases.
I still don't care about On Live.
Not On Live. This has nothing to do with On Live.
Oh, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Gamefly.
I'm sorry. I was reading about this thing. I found out what it is, by the way. It's mazes. Like, they're all... And then Witness and Jaws of Bell's game. They're all
That's
mazes.
A big word that you forgot there.
I don't care about that Gamefly story, though. We can just move on.
You don't think it's like... You
what?
Pay 20
right,
bucks
tell
a
me
month?
Again. Go
Basically,
ahead.
Now, if you pay 20 bucks a month, you'll be able to mail and send, like, you know, a Xbox, PS3, whatever game you want, in addition to having unlimited download access to every PC game on that store.
Okay, that's cool.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Nice. Cool.
Not pretty good for Team Bondi. They're kind of dead. All their assets and IP have been sold to a company called KMM.
Well, this is a good run.
What KMM stands for. Let this be a lesson to you all. Whether it's true or not, don't let everyone even think that you run your studio like a slave house.
Yes. Bad news bears there, folks.
Yeah, Bondi employees are giving the choice of either taking a job with KMM or enjoying a severance package. But yeah. I mean, they made one of the most popular new IPs of the year, and a few months later, they're...
Oh, well. I don't really understand how that works, but there it is.
Here, this will get you all excited, Mike.
Oh, gosh.
On September 9th, when Star Fox 64 3D comes out, you'll also be able to purchase the Flame Red 3DS.
Why is this going to get me excited? I think you're just trying to keep my attention.
I was just being sarcastic.
I'm like a child now. You have to lie to me to
keep
me invested and interested.
Hey,
I'm there.
Look over here. Okay.
Okay, I have a 3DS.
Yeah,
it's not red, but that's okay.
Yeah. this is cool.
Is it really? Are you lying to me again?
No, I think it is cool. It doesn't really apply to us. But
okay.
The Xperia Play, or it's more commonly known, the PlayStation phone. As we all know, it does have the facility to play PS1 games on it, as they released by Sony or whoever. Like, you got Crash Bandicoot for free. Some guy reverse engineered the emulator in there, and you could just now play ripped ISOs right on the phone. But like. They work perfectly. It's like a Sony-made emulator. So
cool.
The only thing it doesn't work with are multi-disc games.
Which kind of sucks, because there go your Final Fantasies and your Resident Evils.
Right.
But still, that's nice.
Yeah. Super Mario 3D Land, which I guess is the name of it, and
yes,
Mario Kart 7 have release dates.
Also, I guess that's the name of it. That's so weird to me. We're going to numbers now.
Yeah, like after never doing that in the series history, all of a sudden, you know what? It's time we quit fucking around.
Yeah. Like the next Mario, like the normal Mario games is called Super Mario 8 or whatever it is up to now.
Watch them do that next. But yeah, so 3D Land will be out November 13th. Kart 7, December 4th. Is this still enough games? They're pretty good, don't get me wrong, but two?
That's pretty good. If you're going to have only two, I mean, there's other things coming out. The DS does not necessarily have the third-party woes that the other Nintendo systems do. There'll be some other things happening there. One, I imagine Snake Eater might be out around this time, maybe?
I thought they said 2012.
Really? Is that true? I don't know. But
also, people played it, don't seem too hot on it.
Like, who? I know. Who says that?
A lot of previews at E3 were saying that like it just didn't translate very well.
I played at E3. It translated fine.
Okay.
Like, just some people at E3 claimed that Super Mario Land 3D was
it's
not
also
very,
true.
Yeah. It'll be fine. Don't worry. I think the 3DS will have a fine holiday. Mario Kart 7 will apparently be selling for 4 years, like the other one.
Yeah, right?
So
it'll be $40 in 2018.
Yeah, didn't we were at like a Walmart yesterday.
Think about that, yeah. In theory. Yeah, go ahead. So finish reading your story.
We were at a Walmart yesterday, and like Uncharted 2 Game of the Year Edition was out for like $30.
Yeah.
And like Mario 64 for the DS, which was a launch title for that system in 2004, was still $30.
So that if the same logic is to be held true, that means in 2018, Mario Land 3D will still be $40.
God. I don't even want to think about a year like that existing. All right, what were you going to say?
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
The 2018
cool.
thing.
All right, then.
So you know that awesome part in the Bioshock Infinite gameplay demo where they do the rip through time? There's like the Revenge of the Jedi marquee?
Yeah.
So apparently all those art assets came from like a canceled Irrational Games game. Like, they were like, you know, we want to like do this thing with these riffs to show they work. We need something that's emotionally resonant. Hey, we got that stuff flying around. Yeah, let's use that.
Use those assets. What I want to see is those riffs take them to, you know, take them obviously to Rapture and even System Shock, you know?
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Just
for the hell of it. Just
like, why not? Yeah, go places. We're in space. You know, I'm assuming one of them's going to take them to space. You may as well have it be System Shock.
Yeah. You have my permission to ignore this story, because actually I think I'll have an easier time getting through it if you do.
No, I'm going to be incredibly interested and ask a lot of follow-up questions now. Let's hear it.
Rock Band 3 is a new publisher.
Oh, my God.
It's Mad Catz.
Wait, I just want to say, it has been a long-ass time since we had a like Rock Band or Guitar Hero story. I remember when we started the podcast, every goddamn week we had to talk about something with these games. Something about, oh, there's a new song pack, or, oh, there's pianos, bruh. Man, I'm glad that thing is done.
Yeah, well.
That was fun while it lasted for a little bit. Bye.
They'll be re-releasing the game this holiday. We'll also be having new bundles, the game with the keyboard, the game with the guitar controller, and the game with the Mustang Pro controller.
How much is it going for?
Doesn't say.
I wonder what the lifetime sales of Rock Band 3 are. I wonder how they compare to Rock Band 2 or Rock
Band
1.
Probably not as well.
Probably
not. I'll tell you,
the
thing that killed Rock Band, for me at least, was the fact that I got that keyboard. The keyboard was super fun, but the 200 songs I already had didn't work with it.
Right.
You know what's even dumb too? And like, I played the game, it was a couple months ago. And I assumed this would work, and it didn't, where, you know, we had the keyboard out, I had that, my buddy had the guitar, and my other friend was playing bass. So, you know, we went to go play some songs that didn't have keyboard, so I thought, like, it would at least just, like, because, you know, the keyboard can play the guitar part, so I thought, okay, we'll just both play the guitar part.
Nope.
Doesn't let you. Well, it's like, what the hell? I don't want to get the drums out, it's 1 a.m., I don't want to sing right now.
Right. Oh, well. So you get for wanting to play Rock Band in the year 2011.
Up a bit. Well, we had fun still, but yeah, it was really lame. Fable the Journey will not have any melee or guns in it. Peter Molyneux, actually, in probably his most reasonable statement ever, I think, said the reason for this is that when you have a gun or a sword, you expect a certain amount of tactical feedback and resistance, which you just can't get with the Kinect.
I mean, that's true, but this is also why the Kinect is in trouble. This is also a big problem that the Wii had.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's being smart. He's designing around the limitation. That's why it's all magic, because your brain has no expectation of what magic feels like.
I guess so. Did he say if we can walk yet?
That's the thing. Like
I still don't understand how it's...
Not on rails?
Yeah, there's no way. It can't be.
I know.
Be.
Like, if he was so adamant about that, like, you think, like, a week later, he'd be like, here, look, here's a demonstration of how it works not on rails.
I think he just thought to himself, I'm going to make it not on rails, and thought he would come up with an idea later. Like, he could just... If he thought hard enough, no, there's nothing he could do.
Yeah.
Can't work.
Yeah. Here's something else that ain't going to work. Reggie Fils-Aimé says that Nintendo of America is watching Xenoblade's performance in Europe.
Sure.
I'm sure they're watching.
I'm sure it'll sell about as well as every other Japanese RPG for the Wii. So.
Hint, not well. Mute your phone.
Oh, calm down.
No! No! Mute it!
I muted it. Christ. It's cool.
Google has begun the rollout of games in Google Plus. By now, I imagine a lot of people do have access to it. Very similar to Facebook games. You know, you play them in Google Plus, you post stuff. The big difference is they do keep it entirely out of your feed, your notifications, everything. You have to actually go to the games tab to see any of that. So that's good. Because a lot of people hate that about Facebook games, how like you'd see like Farmville stuff in your newsfeed all the time. The games that launch with it, Dragon Age Legends, probably the biggest one that was also on Facebook. Angry Birds. The Angry Birds game on there is actually sweet because it has like a real-time leaderboard, kind of like Geometry Wars 2 does.
Now it's time to show everybody that I am, in fact, the world's greatest Angry Birds player.
There's another game. I'm playing Dragons of Atlantis. It's like a city-building game. It's kind of boring.
There aren't any dragons in Atlantis.
Oh, but there were. No, I'm raising them now, slowly.
I guess so.
It's done. Like, I won't talk about the game extensively later, so I'll do it now real quick. It's like it's one of those things like, you know, you want to build a building, okay, it's got like 30 seconds. And during the 30 seconds, it can't build anything else.
You've got to sit there, watch a meter fill
but
up.
Then, like, stuff takes 10 minutes to build. And you're like, fuck.
Right.
This thing, it's just like, it's kind of a fun game. It's not bad, actually, except the tutorial's super hand-holdy. There's, like, no choice in it. But like it's like it takes 3 seconds to click and start building something, and then you can't do anything. So it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to play this right now. They want you to buy crystals to speed up the time.
Of course.
Yes.
Oh, like Farmville or anything else.
Right.
I get you.
But yeah, that's fun and dandy. Battlefield 3, they have announced that it will require Origin no matter what.
I don't understand. Now what is Origin?
It's Steam. No, it's Steam. They've turned it into a
friends list and everything?
Yeah, they've turned into a client and everything. Suddenly it makes more sense why it's not going to be on Steam.
Well, they still claim that was all Steam's. Well, that's probably what Steam doesn't want.
Probably Steam's term of service is you can't like force people to install the competing service. You were able to do games for Windows Live stuff, but that was all internal to the game. Origin is a separate program.
Right.
I mean, it's just like when you buy a disc copy of Portal 2, it has you install Steam. I mean, that's what Battlefield 3 is going to do. But even the digital copy, like, if you get it off Impulse, Direct to Drive, wherever else.
Does it bother you a whole lot to have multiple clients to play PC games?
Kind of. I just like everything to be unified.
I would, too. But, I mean, it still is a PC. It's on my PC.
It's the reason I buy all my multi-platform games, my 360. That's kind of the one I like to play that stuff on, because it's where my main friends list is. It's where my achievements go.
But so this is kind of how PC is. Like, you can't be too mad at EA. It's not like Valve owns PC gaming and they're going against them or something.
Yeah,
no. They want to do their thing, whatever. It does kind of suck. I wish we did just have one store. But the problem is these stores are all developer-owned.
Mm-hmm.
All the developers aren't going to say, yes, go ahead, you can run everything. You're in charge. Not going to happen.
Although Rage did announce that they will be not only on Steam, but using Steamworks.
I still don't understand what Steamworks is either.
Steamworks is it's a suite of things. It's DRM, it's achievements, it's tighter integration into Steam.
Okay, I got it now. Cool.
Well, since we're talking about Valve, they've announced a new Counter-Strike, Global Offensive, coming sometime in early 2012 to PC, Mac, XBLA, and PSN, so it is downloadable.
I guess it doesn't sound like full-on Counter-Strike 2.
I don't know what it is. Like, they haven't really said or shown anything else. Just like,
right.
It was, like, the fastest news cycle I ever saw. Like 11 o'clock in the morning were stories of, like, rumor, and then 30 minutes later was Valve confirmed.
Because the rumor started because Valve flew in, like, Counter-Strike players to test it.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, it was going to leak. I'm sure they knew and were prepared to announce it real soon.
Right, right.
But
I guess we'll find out exactly what the scope of it is.
Wait, I've been saying
it's not like, I mean, there is Counter-Strike Source, and unless they're ready to reveal new tech, like, mm-hmm. I don't see what more it's going to be.
But we do know that old maps will be in this. I don't know if they'll be modified. And, like, you know, maybe it still will be extensive. Team Fortress had some old maps. Really just Team Fortress. I mean, Two Fort.
Well,
a lot of those other maps were extensively changed a lot.
Actually, you know, if you go back and play well and compare it to the original, it actually is pretty close.
Oh, really?
It's just because it's so aesthetically different. It kind of tricks your eye.
I was always surprised that Team Fortress 2 did not bring back more retro maps.
Yeah.
But that's
I always wanted Rock 2. I love that map. Canal Zone?
I just hope that this isn't just an excuse to get it on Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation.
I mean, you know, even if it is just, you know, a updated version of Counter-Strike, I mean, it's going to cost probably $10-15.
Okay, but Counter-Strike is an old game at this point.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know,
put some
modern design principles to it.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, I want to see something comparable to, like, Team Fortress Classic to Team Fortress 2.
And maybe it is that.
Maybe it is. But I wish it would have just called it Counter-Strike 2 then to make me feel better about it.
Yeah.
Instead of giving it a kind of lame subtitle. I guess that's what you do with military shooters, though.
Right. Got to follow that Call of Duty mode.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I've been saying for a while now that they should do that, and they did.
There you go. Also, some screenshots of Dota 2 have leaked.
It's supposed
to be shown at Gamescom. Yeah, it looks like Dota. It's kind of what
which basically means it looks like Warcraft 3, which is weird.
Yeah, but it's running on the Source engine.
Yeah, Steam made a game that looks like Warcraft. This is still weird to me, by the way, that I say Steam, you know, Valve is making Dota 2 a sequel to a mod for Warcraft 3. But, yeah, there it is. And the thing about that, too, is, like Dota 2 is something we can't even be excited about. Because we can't play it.
Well, yeah.
We have no chance.
Yeah, I mean, you hear all the horror stories out of League of Legends. I'm like, I don't want to subject myself to that.
That's like why I find it weird, because I feel like Valve would... They want to make games that people can get into, like a wider audience.
Yeah.
I feel like the same hundreds of thousands of people who play Dota and all those games right now are going to be like the same people who play them for a very long time.
If this game was released with the same scope as like that Aliens breed or whatever it was they released, like that free game that just they kind of quietly released, like, hey, here's this cool thing. Like, it feels like they're making a big deal out of this game, but
right.
I don't think it's going to do, like, big deal business for them.
I can't imagine. Because what happens if people play it and they decide, oh, I liked League of Legends better or Heroes of
Newer? Well, they already got their money, so.
Right, exactly. That's true. But still, you need a community to support this. I mean, I'm sure they'll be fine. I'm sure it'll be...
It's not going to be their most successful thing.
But I guess, I mean, like, a normal Valve fan who's like, oh, I like Left 4 Dead and Counter-Strike and Team Fortress 2. I don't know what they're going to think of Dota 2.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to get anything out of that.
I don't know. I mean, maybe this franchise is stronger than we give it credit for because we never
got
into
it. I'm not saying strong, but what I'm saying is we will not be able to play it.
Right.
Like, I can't go online.
You and I personally.
Yeah, I can't. And we are pretty, you know, we could pick up a game and get into it.
Yeah, but I suck at RTS. Right. That's like my one weak
genre. This isn't even RTS. This is like a beat above RTS.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot play StarCraft 2 online. I tried one time, and I literally just cannot do it. It just can't happen.
Yeah.
This is far worse. It's far more complicated.
Yeah.
Dota is like, it's a whole new world.
No good will
come of it.
Okay.
Next.
The 3DS Ambassador GBA games. We still don't know what they all are, but we did find out kind of how it's going to work. Because if you played any of the other virtual console games on the 3DS, they have like a little menu that's on the bottom screen. You can create save states just like you can on an emulator. You can put the system to sleep, spot pass, repass, everything works just like any 3DS game. It's not going to be the case with the GBA games. Basically, it sounds like it's just playing GBA ROMs like all that emulation that was in the original DS is still in there.
Okay.
So, you know, you can't close the system, put it to sleep. You can't save or store points. There's no spot passing, all of that.
I mean, kind of a bummer.
Makes it a little more sense why, like, they're saying we don't have plans to release these. Maybe
so.
They're going to eventually create a virtual console version. We'll get, like, a free upgrade.
Yeah, I feel like maybe they rushed this just to give the ambassador something.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting the NES games first, right?
Yeah, the NES games are coming to turn first. They are on, like, a virtual console thing. And eventually those are going to get updated to have features like multiplayer.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping will happen with the GBA games, especially like that Kirby game.
Are those all first-party games, by the way?
What have they announced? Metroid, Kirby, Mario, Mario Kart.
Zelda. Well, not Mario Kart, for the NES.
No, I thought you were talking about the GBA
I'm talking about NES. I wasn't even listening, but yeah.
Balloon Fight.
Yeah, it's Balloon Fight,
Mario,
Ice Climbers.
Mario, Zelda, Ice Climbers, Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah, I think those are all.
Yeah, they're pretty much all first-party.
Too bad. I would like to have a Mega Man 2 in there.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Maybe.
Well, good transition, Mike.
Oh, good.
Capcom slashing prices on Mega Man stuff.
Everything must go.
Yeah.
Fire sale.
The digital versions on PSN, which includes 1, 2, and 3 as Japanese import versions on the store,
They're like those are three, Japanese imports of the PlayStation re-releases, which I don't quite understand, but they were a thing.
But they're like $3. 9 and 10 are both down to 5. Then they also announced they're doing a 2 UMD bundle of Mega Man Maverick Hunter X and Mega Man Powered Up for like $15.
That's cool. Those are good.
Of course, everyone's like, what are you trying to tell us? First, you're like canceling every Mega Man game, then you're selling everything cheap.
I wouldn't
like,
look too far into it. It's just a sale. It's just a sale of online games.
Yeah.
So, you know, nice. That's cool. I own all those.
Speaking of online games and sort of dying franchises, Sega says that Sonic Episode 4 is still around and an update is coming soon.
You mean Sonic 4 Episode 2?
What'd I say?
Sonic Episode 4.
Yeah, Sonic 4 Episode 2, whatever.
I don't know. I bet they'll wait till like after Sonic Generations. Although, like, when did Episode 1 come out?
Like a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, just one generation. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Not worthy of the Sonic 4 name.
Yeah.
It was very quaint, wasn't it?
Actually, I'd like the iPhone version better, I think, than the console version.
I didn't even play
it. It's pretty good.
If you say so.
Last story, the 360s. They're now going to have matte finishes instead of glossy ones going forward.
Fantastic.
And that's all I got.
Whoop-dee-frickin-do. Let's go topical.
Okay.
Are you ready? All right. So, Call of Duty's been announced. Excuse me. Counter-Strike. Uh-huh. That's kind of a funny slip.
Good slip, yeah.
So, Counter-Strike's been announced. Here's my question. Well, here's... You know how it is. You disagree or agree with the statement I'm about to make.
Okay.
A new Half-Life will be the next game Valve announces.
It has to be. What else is there for them to do? They're not going to do another Left 4 Dead.
You don't think?
No.
Why not?
I don't think Left 4 Dead 2 left as much of a lasting impression.
No. You know what? If I told you right now I wanted to play Left 4 Dead, what would you want to play?
1.
Yeah, me too.
I have more affinity to those characters. Yeah. I think because, honestly, the opening cinematic for that game was better than the one for the second one.
It's just, that was still so weird to me that Left 4 Dead 2 happened the way it did. That, like, a year later, when, like, the whole premise, it seemed, of Left 4 Dead was that we can do all these episodic content. Yeah, and they like did forever. It anyways.
Yeah.
So I still don't understand why Left 4 Dead 2 existed.
Right.
That didn't make sense to me. So, won't Left 4 Dead 3.
But, I mean, we got an announcement of Counter-Strike. Dota's coming. There's not, Team Fortress 2 is doing its thing. I mean, unless they're going to create
3.
Some...
Yeah. But unless, a Dota 2 comes out of nowhere again.
Yeah, unless there's some new IP they got cooking. I don't see what else they have to do right now.
And they're going to be like, oh, we're making an RTS. Oh, fuck you. Get on Half-Life. Yeah. It's funny how it makes everybody sense, but I still can't believe it. I still can't say... How about this? Half-Life 3, Episode 3, now it's within the next year.
Within the at least 365 days from now?
Yeah.
Has to.
So let's say like by next E3 at the latest, right?
Right.
They gotta be on getting on.
And they have to have been working on it all this time.
I assume. And I assume that some of those things in Portal 2 were leading into it. You see that thing? There's like just these three Canadians striking.
Yeah, like just cardboard boxes.
Like outside. Like Game Newell took a picture with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. But, they gotta know. I just want that so bad. Half-Life 2 is becoming an old game.
Yeah, it really is.
It's still aged incredibly well. Yeah, so better
it's
than
been 4 years since Episode 2 came out.
Yeah, Episode 2 is 4 years long. Half-Life 2 is... seven?
Here, let me put it to you this way, Mike. It was 6 years between Half-Life and Half-Life 2. We're at 4 right now.
They got to get on that.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. You are interested in El Shaddai. Comes out next week.
I played the demo. It's pretty. It plays okay at first. It's a two-button game. There's jump and attack. There's not, light and heavy attack.
See, I don't know a whole lot about this game, but I've been seeing some, good reviews for it.
The thing that everyone really seems to push about the game is how you steal enemies' weapons, and then, throughout the fights, as you're hitting guys, the weapons become tainted, so you have to stop every so often and purifying. I call it reloading. everyone talks like it's this great new feature. And I'm like, we've been taking weapons off of enemies forever, and then you have to reload. I mean, it's kind of neat, I guess, the way they tie it into the lore. It's visually striking. One thing I hated in the demo is there's a combination of 3D levels and 2D platforming levels.
Oh, really?
And the level had a very sort of Japanese art look to it. And there was, these waves or something going off in the background. And every so often you get to a point where the waves all of a sudden were things you could jump on, but you never knew which ones were background or foreground waves and which ones were the ones you could jump on. Like, there was no way to tell, and it kept screwing with me. So, I don't know, I just... The combat was very simplistic. There's only one attack button. It gets very button mashery. I don't know. I thought it was interesting, but I don't understand why everyone's so hyped on it.
Yeah, seeing people seem pretty high. I don't really know a whole lot about it. I saw people playing it at like PAX.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's basically the extent of my exposure to the thing. I really don't know very much about this, except that some reviewers seem to be high on it.
Yeah. I mean, if it's good, it's good. That's great. But I didn't see what the big deal was when I played the demo. I thought it looked really nice. Looked really nice, actually.
All right, then. So next. Nintendo should make iPhone games. So apparently, investors want Nintendo to make... want Nintendo to make iPhone games. Do you think they should?
Here's what I think they should do with anything. Put a virtual console on the iPhone.
That's terrible.
I know it's terrible. I mean, playing it would be shitty, but man, that would make money.
I guess, yeah, that's my point. Buy it anyways.
Oh, yeah.
See, that all just sounds like, why would they compete against themselves? To do that is basically to say, all right, we're done with the 3DS. We're done with...
No. Still put Mario 3D Land and Mario Kart 7 on the 3DS and have the virtual console on 3DS.
All you want
those buttons.
So you just want the iPhone games to be...
Virtual console.
That's it?
If they want to do something like... I mean, they have this like Pokemon thing coming out, but like if they want to make like... a really nice official Pokedex application. Or if they want to
do... See, then you have something like that for the 3DS. Now you're competing with yourself again.
No. But the thing is, I want to be able to be playing Pokemon on my 3DS and take out my iPhone and look up the Pokedex.
I know that's convenient for you, but it's not for them.
It's basically DLC at that point.
What? Yeah, because it's on a different platform. It's all weird.
But they're still getting their $5.
It's messed up. It's not right. But like, what about like a full-on game? Like, here's... a Mario touchscreen game.
See, that I don't know. Like, maybe certain things, a Mario Party for iPad.
No, that'd be no.
But no, yeah, I mean, like, there are people who are saying, like, oh, Nintendo should just be like Sega and just give up and just make software.
Yeah, like people.
Because here's the thing. Nintendo's problem is not software. If they release a Mario game on any platform, it will sell. If they release a Zelda game, it will sell. That's not their issue right now. Their issue is hardware sales.
Are you agreeing with these people? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm anti-agreeing. I'm saying they don't need to become a software company. They're a fine software company. They just need to figure out their hardware business right now.
Yeah. I still think this will all come together, especially for the 3DS. I still stand by the 3DS as a good system.
No, it is.
I know a lot of people have been down on it lately. It's been gotten pretty beaten up.
By Nintendo's own admission. The launch lineup was shit and nothing came out after it.
I still... like the system a lot. I like the functionality of it. And I know so many almost everybody I know these days is pretty sour on 3D. No one likes it. Yeah. I still think it's kind of cool.
Everyone's like, oh, I turn it off. I'm like, why? I like it.
I don't have any head problems.
When I play Zelda,
it.
I've got it on.
I don't have these head problems that everyone else seems to have. I think everyone else is just weak.
Mm-hmm.
Their eyes just suck.
Yeah.
Now I'm just being mean. But I think the 3DS I still think will be fine. I think making iPhone games, if nothing else, it sends a bad message. It's almost like, oh, we're not sure about the 3DS. If they don't show confidence in their own stuff.
Like, I don't see the harm in doing a virtual console on the iPhone.
It would suck. I don't know.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't think it'd be a good experience, like, but it'll make a ton of money and it won't hurt any of their other business.
I think they released like Mega Man 2 or something on iPhone.
Yeah, you get like Sonic 2 on it. It's shitty.
Why? That's so dumb.
But then, you know, you think of the games that would work. Like, playing Zelda on that wouldn't be the worst thing ever, because you don't need super precision or anything there.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Next. Okay, I guess it's kind of a long one.
Okay.
So bear with me.
Okay.
So now that Super Mario 3D Land has a November 13th release date, uh-huh, and considering that Skyrim, Uncharted 3, Modern Warfare 3, and Assassin's Creed Revelations are also coming out in the first half of that month... Plus, we'll also have Saints Row the 3rd, Halo Anniversary on the 15th, and Sonic Generations as a vague November release date. You are ready to declare the first 2 weeks of November the most ridiculous abundance of gaming ever.
Say that list one more time.
Super Mario 3D Land, Skyrim,
buying it.
Uncharted 3,
buying it.
Modern Warfare 3,
maybe.
Assassin's Creed Revelations,
buying it.
Sonic Generations vague November release date,
buying it.
Saints Row the 3rd,
no.
People are high on that.
Yeah.
And Halo.
Buying it. So that's approximately 7 games.
I mean, Skyrim alone would be enough to last you for a month.
That's like $450 worth of games that I want to buy that month. Fuck.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
That's insane.
Like, I'll tell you this, like, Super Mario 3D Land, Skyrim Uncharted 3, Modern Warfare 3, and Assassin's Creed are all going to get like 9s and 10s. They're going they're going to be like great games.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's just absolutely ridiculous. That first, like the first 2 weeks, the first to the 15th, that's insane.
That's crazy. Oh my
god. Like when I saw Super Mario 3D Land was also now early November, like, oh my god.
That's going to be so many games. The thing is, even finding time to play those.
Well, here's you start off with like Uncharted 3, like on the first.
I could beat that in a couple days.
Yeah, you got to beat.
I'll tough through that.
Yeah, you got to beat Uncharted 3 real quick, and then look out, here's Modern Warfare 3, so get through that campaign in a day or so.
Right.
Then here comes Skyrim, and then you're done.
Life is over.
Yeah, you're finished. What do you?
You get Mario for when you're not playing Skyrim, like, you know, the toilet,
yeah, like bed
work.
In bed. There's like Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Oh, I want to play that so bad.
Yeah, yeah. This is just all messed up. Looks like a couple of these things are going to take a hit and wait for December.
Mm.
Yeah, but yeah, just wanted to point out how ridiculous November is going to be.
That's crazy.
All right, last one. Community question: Counter-Strike Global Offensive will not be able to compete with Call of Duty or Battlefield.
Hmm. I don't know. I wonder how much nostalgia is left for Counter-Strike. I mean, Counter-Strike was kind of the original modern military online shooter.
I wonder how many of these people who play Call of Duty now, did these people ever play Counter-Strike?
You know, like our cousin David. He's what, 19?
Yeah, I don't think he ever played Counter-Strike.
He never played Counter-Strike, but he fucking loves Call of Duty. He can't wait for Battlefield 3.
Okay, so... Battlefield 3 has captured the imagination of a lot of Call of Duty players.
Mm-hmm. It's getting the Call of Duty players starting to get a little tired of it.
Yeah, but you already have that going on now. Is Counter-Strike also going to be able to come in now and say, hey, us too?
Well, the advantage they have is, like I said, it's going to be like a $10, $15 downloadable game. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a complete buy-in.
The weird thing is that Counter-Strike seems like the underdog here. When Counter-Strike, for a very, very long time,
was top dog.
Far and away the king. And it's still, even Counter-Strike Source still does pretty well for itself.
People still play 1.6.
Right. I bet on PC, maybe. On PC, maybe. I think
yeah,
more people play Counter-Strike.
Because there's the pedigree.
Yeah.
It's gonna depend on two things. It's going to depend exactly how big it is, like when we find out more about the actual game. They're going to have to market it right.
Yeah, there are. I feel like
you're going to have to see some actual marketing for this downloadable title.
And I don't want them to market. They can't market it to be... See, the thing is, they took a really cool chance with Team Fortress 2, and they kind of... did something different. I'm worried that they're just going to make this look generic,
mm-hmm.
dirty. I'm afraid it's just going to look like an HD...
a more HD Counter-Strike Source.
More HD Counter-Strike, yeah, with like prettier textures. I mean, I don't want... You know, again, you don't want to do a cartoon style to it or something, but...
No, but I don't know. Like, you get classes in there, you get some sort of economy going that's more persistent. I mean, Counter-Strike always had a round-to-round economy. Maybe you have more persistent characters.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
the thing that Counter-Strike got going for it right away is that its main mode, unlike the other ones, is not team deathmatch. It's, you know, hostages or bomb.
Yeah.
Now, what if...
They get rid of that. Just go to team deathmatch.
Yeah, they go to team deathmatch. It's ruined. It's done. I remember when that was a mode in Counter-Strike. It was like a different mode, by the way.
Like, oh,
it was like the mode...
It was like that old thing we used to play in Quake.
And also, will Call of Duty players, like, handle, like, I'm dead, I have to wait for the next round. What is this?
Well, I mean, that mode does exist in Call of Duty. It's not the most popular, for sure.
Right, but, like, I wonder, like, are they going to push that now? Because that's what people want, or whatever.
Right.
I hope they just don't take away the Counter-Strike-iness.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
I hope that they don't dilute this to make it, like... Because if it's just like Call of Duty and Battlefield, then no who's going to care. We have those games already.
Right.
And I hope they don't botch, like, Team Fortress 2 on consoles. I still think they should re-release that.
Yeah, make it like a new
especially
downloadable
on PSN,
title.
Where you can have the Steam cross-platform.
Oh yeah,
thing.
Just make it like a yeah. again. Well, I mean, hell, it's free to play now.
All right, can you imagine putting in the orange box on the 360 and playing Team Fortress 2 online?
No,
that is like a completely different game than what Team Fortress 2 is right now.
Yeah, unless you really hate all the changes and you want vanilla TF2.
Yeah, you cannot play Plunder maps.
Wow, yeah, you're right.
That just sounds good. And that's like become the main mode.
Yeah.
Of Team Fortress, you can't play that. Can't push the cart. Yeah. So, let's just see if they keep up with it. All right, so yeah, we'll put that on Facebook. You'll let us know if you think Counter-Strike. I keep wanting to call it Call of Duty. C's getting me. So if you
Telling.
Think Counter-Strike will not be able to compete with Call of Duty and Battlefield or not. All right, so are we in gaming? I guess I'll go first because I
go
got Catherine, which I've been playing.
Tell us about it.
Well, first thing... I really want to think about is, you know, you've been hearing how hard the game is.
Right.
It's hard, it's hard, it's hard. Oh, my God, it's so hard. Play it on easy.
Patch it in Japan to make it easier.
Don't even bother starting on normal. I don't want to sound arrogant.
Uh-huh.
It's not that hard. Okay, it's just, I mean, look, you'll die a lot. Like, maybe there'll be a update.
Yeah, I feel like I felt this like with Mega Man 9 and all these other games.
People
associate with, I couldn't get through this level without dying on the first try, as this game's hard.
Right. Like, and it's weird because a lot of people who I would expect to like the fact
challenge.
That, yeah. Don't seem to instead say that it frustrates them
and
that's
just
not
play uneasy.
And, that's not, and that it's not fun for them and that they're only interested in the story or whatever, blah, blah, blah. That's still the game to me. I mean, look, it's like, this is actually pretty fun. It's no more difficult than Angry Birds. Like, you're not going to...
Well, you are the best at Angry Birds.
But yeah, my point is, I mean, I say that as a joke, let's be honest. But because now I'm going to come off as way too high in my... But, you know, in Angry Birds, you're not going to beat a level the first time. It's trial and error.
Yeah.
Same thing with this. Like, lose, but the retries are abundant. You have pretty generous checkpoints. If you have any sort of patience, like the game goes to a point where they'll basically show you videos of techniques of what to do, and basically shows you how to beat the game. It's almost like the super guide from Super Mario.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this, it's not that hard. You could do this. I feel like it's just more of the I don't want to say pussifying. Of gaming.
No, it is. It's just that expectation that I'm going to sit down and blow through this
game.
It's
the gratification. And I've been arguing with some people, again, people who like didn't like Braid, and I always get in with people because I loved Braid a lot. But to them, not being able to solve a puzzle right away is just frustrating to them. And they don't have fun with that.
Yeah.
That's just weird to me. That's almost the basics of gaming to me, is overcoming obstacles that are not immediately... easy or apparent or whatever. That's where satisfaction comes from. But so that's one thing.
So I have some questions about the game.
Yes.
I my only experience with it so far, I played the Japanese demo. So I haven't even played the English demo yet, let alone the game. So the dating parts of the game were kind of lost to me because it's in Japanese. But even then, and I wondered how much this factors into it. Does the like dating part of the game and the puzzle part of the game feel completely separate?
You know, I don't want to say completely separate. They're definitely related. And it ties up more towards the end, too. But they're definitely different things. It's definitely a whole day and night thing going on. Especially because he doesn't remember his nightmares so well.
Okay.
Like, they're blurry.
I mean, not even, like, story-wise. I mean, like, mechanics-wise.
Oh, mechanic-wise, for sure. Because you're pushing blocks, and then...
But, did you find one in particular to be way more fun than the other?
No, actually, I didn't. And that's what I did like, is that it was... Because after doing those puzzles for a while, and you do, you know, you get mentally exhausted, it's nice to kind of chill out and
then you
send text messages.
And then you kind of, you're like, okay, I'm ready to do, like, puzzles again. So you feel like they create a nice counterbalance.
No, I think that works out really well, actually. Like, then you just watch some people talk to each other, further the story along. There's actually a neat text messaging system where you'll get a text from one of the girls, and, like, you can pick what kind of text you want to send in a weird sort of way. You write a line, then you can delete it or write a different line with, like, a different kind of mood to it. That's cool. You know, it's about, like, these two girls. One is, like, your long-term girlfriend or whatever, and, you know, she wants to tie down or get married, and then there's this new, young, flirty girl that you meet. And, the one problem I have is that sometimes it is a little black and white, and I hate the fact that there is a meter. It's like, oh, like, which way you're going. And it almost is. Like, it,
get rid of the meter.
They call
don't
it,
have the meter.
They call it chaos and order, but they may as well make it out like, oh, bad or good. Like, just, it's basically dark side, light
just
side.
Just don't have the meter.
Right. Like, I don't like the fact that they basically try to spell out that the one choice is the good choice.
The other thing, too, is I see how it's hard to have a morality game where off the bat your character's already done something immoral. I mean, it's not like you get to pick if you're going to cheat on Catherine with Catherine or not. That happens.
And as neat of a concept as it is, and they do a lot of cool stuff like talking about relationships or whatever. As soon as all you see of Vincent, that's the main character's relationship with the original Catherine, like his long-term girlfriend.
Yeah, with a
K. Is them kind of being very settled in with each other, not being very loving. Like, it's
you don't see the history of the relationship.
And honestly, the way he talks to each other, he doesn't even seem like they had a long-term relationship. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like, why do you guys even date?
Right. So it's hard for me to say I choose this person, even though I wanted to because the game was kind of pushing it on me.
Because the moral... norm is, well, you're already dating her and you cheated on her, so now you have to be nice to her.
Right. And also, like, the other girl is kind of a way too good to be true situation, and I'm just, you know... Like,
plus, everyone she sleeps with seems to die or something.
No, that's not necessarily how it goes. There's something... You know, there are supernatural aspects of it, and I wish maybe they were toned down a bit, because sometimes they kind of defeat the whole relationship thing going on here when you find out that there are, like, demons or whatever involved. But, you know, Atlas, Shin Megami Tensei, that's kind of what they do, right?
Yeah.
Demons. But, no, it is a really neat game. It's definitely something refreshingly different. It's voice acted really well. I'm 99% sure Nolan North's the main character.
We could find that out.
Yeah, I'm 99% sure that's him. All a lot of cursing in the language, too, actually.
You know, people say it's
an actual mature game.
Right.
Yeah.
Not just rated M for mature, but...
Right. Like, you know, we're talking about mature themes here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Vincent Brooks is a guy named Troy Baker. You may know him as Snow Villers from Final Fantasy XIII.
Really? I was convinced he sounded a lot like Nolan.
He was also Kanji in Persona 4.
Kanji. Oh. I'm just kind of surprised, because I really thought it was Nolan North.
Yeah, weird.
Like
the girl who's the voice actress of Catherine, your girlfriend, the original one, she was Crimson Viper in Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, when you say that, though, that it was Snow from Final Fantasy 13, that also makes sense.
Yeah, I hear it now, too.
Yeah, it was weird, because Fixer was over, and he was convinced it was Nolan North, too. I didn't even think about it, though. He brought it up.
Yeah, like, you know who Nolan North is, quick aside? The Penguin.
Penguin in what?
In Arkham City.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, have you seen the trailer?
No.
This is a quick tangent.
Does he sound like him?
No, they made the Penguin, like, Cockney British for the game.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's Nolan North, but you'd never guess it. It's yeah.
Well,
it's,
he's
it's,
a voice actor.
Yeah, it's
so.
One of those roles where you can't tell it's Nolan North, but it sounds sweet.
He's also a cartoon robot in Ratchet and Clank. You wouldn't have known.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a really cool game. It's fun. It's different. I'm enjoying it.
Cool.
And I'm almost interested.
Enjoying things is good.
Yes, I'm almost interested to see what it's like if I take a different path or whatever.
It's got multiple endings, right?
Yeah, and then a pet peeve of mine, like I was reading, like there's like
the true ending.
I hate that word. Oh. I hate that term so much. I hate the term true ending.
You know,
if you have a true ending, you defeat the purpose of multiple endings, don't you?
Yeah.
What is that? If you can have multiple endings,
you
that's
know,
fine.
You know
don't
what it's
tell
like?
Me that one's the best.
You
though.
Know, you know exactly what it's like. It's like when you're a kid reading this damn Play As You Go books.
Yeah, and you get to the one you just
you
die.
Get to the one you just die. And like, well, fuck that. You turn back to the last page.
Right.
And you pick the other thing.
Yeah, exactly. Except like. This time I'll have to play 20 hours of a game.
No, again. I'll just go on YouTube and watch it.
No, that's what I'll do, seriously.
That's the thing, too. YouTube has completely destroyed the point of that.
And I even, when I found that out about, like, Persona 4, that really bothered me because I was 40 hours into a game and I discovered that I can't get the true ending. Oh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I'm going to play this game for 60 hours and I don't get the true ending. Like, I didn't deserve it. Yeah, go to hell.
Again, that's like another Japanese thing, I think, that still lingers.
Yeah, look.
Because, I mean, you look at, like, you know... Fallout 3, like, there were different endings, but, like, no one was called the true ending. They were
right,
all
exactly.
valid endings.
They're all, yeah, they just end, and, you know, there's not a best ending. Yeah, no, that is my... I hate that term so much, true ending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go to hell. Fuck off. True ending. But no, it's a lot of fun. And but block puzzles, like, the whole thing, it's weird because you're, you know, it's just block puzzle, basically, which is usually a bad thing in games. Like, it makes you think of Tomb Raider or, like, the Zelda, but it's... The physics are all completely weird. It's like they connect at edges and it
yeah, exactly. I mean, that part of the Japanese demo I got. Like, I thought it was a good puzzle game. I, you know, having time constraints is I understand why they have to do it. And there is that. I remember there is that, like, arcade game in the bar you could play where it's the puzzle game without the time constraint.
Yeah, a lot of people like the time constraint doesn't bother me a whole lot because it, to me, if that thing catches up with me, it means that I'm kind of stuck to a point where I probably needed to go back anyways.
I see.
And, you know, even if you're kind of far away, quote unquote, from a checkpoint, you have figured out what you need to do in that first dive. You can get through it pretty quickly.
Yeah, just
I think.
Zip through it.
And like any good puzzle game, they'll throw in different blocks, they'll add a spin to it, whatever, as it goes on and on. But I've enjoyed it very much. I basically all I have left to do is the very final boss, if you would.
Okay.
So that's Catherine.
Cool.
What have you been up to?
Let's see. I've been playing a lot of Civ World on Facebook.
How's that going?
It's really good. I really like it.
Is it basically play like Civ? Is it play like Civ Rev?
Yes and no. Here's how it works now. What makes this game immediately different from any other social game on Facebook, you can win the game. Like, you basically join a server that can hold up to 200 players.
Oh.
and you do play a complete game. Then when the game's over, you join another game. So when you first join a game...
How does the game take?
The one I'm playing, I came into it fairly late, too, and that was a week and a half ago, and it's still going.
Okay.
So they take a while. You could play up to three games at once. You have to unlock more slots. I have two slots open.
Okay.
When you first start the game, you have your own city, and they just, like, append a suffix to your name. So I have, like, AJ-berg, but it has periods in the name, so That's cool. Weird. Yeah.
Adjberg.
So you just run your own individual city.
Okay.
And then the big mechanic in building your city is positioning your workers' houses so that they get the most happiness. They'll get more happiness from being close to
forest, city.
Water, neighbors who are the same work type, or drop-off location for their work type.
Neighbors who are the same work type. I gotcha. I'm winking.
I don't know what you mean.
It's like...
Is this a racial joke?
Kind of.
Okay.
Should we move on?
Sure.
Was that bad taste?
I don't know.
I mean, I wasn't... That didn't make me guilty.
Look, man, miners like miners and farmers like farmers. It's cool.
I see what you did there.
But that's what it is. Like, so...
Yeah.
You know, if you see, like, a part of the map where you see...
in my analogy, a miner was, say, a Hispanic, and Hispanics like living with other Hispanics... Should I have just dropped
this? But Hispanic miners, and well, it's all one civilization, so they all be Hispanic, so it's not an issue.
So your civilization is like anti-foreigners?
Well, no, you're in a civilization.
This whole thing sounds racist.
Stop it!
Go ahead.
So, like, part of the trick of building your city, and the way you kind of expand your field of view, like the fog of war, you have to gradually build out more and more watchtowers, and it gives you more view. So if you can see a spot where you can situate all your workers where they'll be next to things that'll make their happiness up and also be able to build the facilities they need, you'll get more production out of them. So there's like different types of farms you could build. Like if you build cornfields next to each other, they benefit each other. Pastures will benefit being next to each other and being by water. Gardens will just benefit from water. So it depends what you have to work with, basically. Gotcha. Defines what you want to build. Production, you know, you can get rock, iron, trees, and then the others,
How do you interact with other players, though?
I'm getting to it. Real quick, I mean, the others are culture, science, and merchants. You just build buildings for that.
Gotcha.
At any point, once you start playing, you could choose to join a civilization. And, you know, they'll show you the list of all the civs, how many players are in each one, how many wonders they've constructed, how much money they have, how big their armies are, which I feel like... They should just randomly put you in a civ. Because immediately, every game I've joined, there's like two civs that are maxed out and a whole bunch of tiny civs.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like they should just assign you a civ. But once you're in a civ, then you can trade with other people in your civ. You can... You get like every so often you get a dowry where you could visit another civilization, choose one of their villagers, and... Basically, just get a benefit from them, and they'll get something because you pick them.
Cool.
Then what's the really cool social thing I like is when it comes to building wonders. You get, like, your great people, like great artists, great scientists and everything, and then you have to contribute them to build a wonder. But you can only contribute one great person per wonder. So you have to coordinate with the rest of your civ, you know, what wonders do we want to go for right now. Unless you're the cultural minister. And that goes into, like, there's all these different ministries that you can become head of. If you're the cultural minister, you can contribute as many as you want. Mm-hmm. If you're the science minister, your research costs 50% less. So, like, I've been cultural minister and science minister. Then there's, like, the king or queen of the whole civ if you're the number one player in your civ. There's different mini-games you can play to boost all of your stats as well. There's, like, the culture mini-game. It's basically a puzzle swap, but you play in real time against other people. So you're trying to compete to fill it in before they do.
I gotcha.
There's, like, a maze with a limited field of view for science. There's, like, basically...
Sounds like a maze.
Yeah. There's kind of, like, a pipe dream sort of thing for the goal.
Like BioShock hacking?
A little bit. There's not, like, a thing constantly running. You could take your time
with it. I think that was my... Tangent, I'm sorry. But I think that was my favorite of all weird... hacking mini games.
Yeah, it made no sense, but it was fun.
It was fun. Did BioShock 2 have the same one? I can't remember. I really can't remember. Sorry, go ahead. Keep going.
So let's see. You know, you build your armies. Battles will be like staged. You'll see a countdown timer when they're going to start. So you want to make sure you have all your forces in place, and then they play out. Basically, the win state is, it's not a civ that wins. It's actually an individual. You get fame points as you play. And then whoever has the most fame points at the end is the winner of that game. You do have a persistent throne room between all your games. You get gems to, like, you know, get cosmetic
and
things.
Trophies and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's an actual game, unlike so many Facebook games where you're really just staring at a meter. Yeah. I mean, there are time limitations to it. Like, you get these things called harvest, which, like, you have a constant slow flow of resources, but in the harvest will give you a big boost. Those generate over time, too. So, like,
it's
you
like
may
when
log
they declare
in.
We love the King Day or something.
Kind of. Like, you may log in after day and you have 15 harvests. I just click that button 15 times, get a whole bunch of resources, like, in a big spurt. You know, there's the market where you could buy and sell commodities and try to, like, you know, buy low, sell high, depending on how the market's moving. The only gripe I really have with the game, I mean, as I'm describing it, it is kind of complicated. Mm-hmm. It plays in a window in the web browser that you cannot full screen. And it's a very cluttered interface. So, like, there's just not enough screen real estate for it. They really need a full screen mode for this game, basically. But still, I mean, you know, what the hell? It's free. You can play it right now on Facebook. If your Facebook friends with me, jump in. I'm in a game right now. I think still has room.
Maybe I'll try it.
It's really good.
I
like it.
You know how I am.
So there's that. The other game I was playing this week, very randomly, was Sonic Colors.
Oh, right.
I borrowed your copy.
Right.
I really like it. Like, a lot.
It's good.
It is. It's really good.
I think some of the level design, there's like a lot of these like blocks that are used.
Yeah.
That are kind of ugly.
It's a little lazy in that regard. It's like, oh, yeah, we just put some blocks.
You know, graphics are not HD.
Well, again,
of course.
I think the thing that killed this game is it was on the Wii.
Yeah, pretty much.
I feel like, you know, like, I didn't realize, like, I just assumed and started playing it with, like, the sideways Wii remote. Then I found out it basically plays with any controller config you want, even a GameCube controller.
That's actually what I use as a GameCube controller.
Oh, my God. When I found that, I was so happy.
I know.
I was so happy. Because,
yeah,
I mean, the motion control, it's just a waggle for a button press.
Yeah, it is. You know? And there's a lot of times where you do need some analog going on there, so you don't want to just use the D-pad.
Yeah, like, especially, you know, the running, free-running parts in 3D.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when I look at this game, as I'm playing, I'm thinking in my head, okay, Sonic Generations. I played the demo they released, which was a classic level. The modern levels are basically going to play like this in HD on those recreated levels. Sonic Generations is going to be awesome.
Right. They released some video, too, of Chemical Plant
Zone.
Yeah,
and it looks sweet.
Ooh, it looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Colors has, you know, it, I mean, for, again, it has that thing. For a Wii game, it looks good.
I don't know if it looks that good for a Wii game.
It's very, there's a lot going on screen, at least.
It certainly is not, like, compared to Mario Galaxy.
Right. Good soundtrack, though. Very good soundtrack.
I still don't understand what, like, Mario Galaxy looks at least 5 times better than every other Wii game.
I know.
I don't know how they
did
that. I don't
get it either.
But there it is, nonetheless.
And then, like, you know, the story in the game and the voice acting, I mean, it's still pretty shitty, but it's definitely a high point for the Sonic series.
I will say there are two comedic, like, robot henchmen that
like
are actually
them.
Kind of funny.
Yeah, I like them.
Surprisingly.
Sonic's not too bad,
Sonic's
and Tails is still annoying.
Tails is still know-it-all lame-o.
Yeah.
I mean, I just called him a lame-o, so I don't know how cool that makes me.
Then there's that whole thing, too, where, like, you absorb these little aliens and unleash their powers, but, like,
some of that's a little unnecessary. Some of them are kind of cool.
Some are fine. Some of it, yeah, and it just feels, like, very
filler.
Almost afterthought-ish.
Kind of filler.
Yeah. Like, none of it's required to get through a level.
They felt like they had to throw something in. They're like, oh, we don't have the Werehog this time. What are we going to do?
Yeah, what bullshit can we come up with now? They can't just let it alone.
Oh,
you know?
Here we, yes, they will.
Oh, God, I hope so.
We got this
God,
now.
I hope
they, so. I'll tell you what. I bet Sonic Generations is a big success, and we get Sonic Generations 2.
That's
just
fine by me. That's fine by me.
I'll take it. Get some Sonic CD levels this time.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go. Sonic Generations 2, you bring back the time travel mechanic.
Ooh.
From Sonic CD, and that's how you go back and forth between modern and classic.
Be
boom,
cool.
Sega, take that idea. It's all yours. Yeah. I want to play that game next.
Basically, I'm pretty excited for Sonic Generations.
Yeah.
That actually was, like, I played that game a lot at E3. Like, I kept going back to it just because it was so neat to me.
Yeah, I mean, but Sonic Colors is excellent. Like I said, I think it was just a victim of being on the Wii.
Yeah, pretty much. It kind of was. All right. You know, one other thing I played is a free PC game called the Kerbal Space Program. I don't know if it's Kerbal or Kerbal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw you playing this the other day.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like you build a rocket ship. And almost, like, the building the rocket ship is almost like the Spore creature creator.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, you're kind of putting it together. And, like, you're setting it off so that it'll go off in stages like a normal rocket. So you push the space bar, it'll jettison the rocket below. And launch
right.
It. You're kind of building a rocket to, like, you know, get into orbit or, you know, you can even do it so you can fly around the planet you're on and stuff like that. So it's basically kind of, you know, you're making your own fun in a lot of ways. But it's pretty neat, especially for a free game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people should check that out. Again, called Kerbal Space Program. If you're kind of like an amateur space nut.
Like you are.
Yeah, like you are, yeah, that's fine. Like, you know, Good times.
Real quick, too, I want to mention an iPad game. Groove Coaster from Namco.
Oh, okay.
It's cool. I don't know if it's on iPhone or not. I have it on my iPad. Basically, it's a rhythm game where you got, like, it started off very simply. It's just like a little avatar moving along a ribbon, and just as things came on the track, you tapped anywhere on the screen in time with the music. But then, like, the later levels, it starts moving all over the place. Like, it's very visually cool. It's all looks like vector graphics kind of deal, and it's sweet. It was pretty good.
All right.
Music's good, too.
Are you ready for the releases, then?
I am ready, Mike.
Let's do it, then. All right, so Age of Empires Online.
Oh, is that, like, officially 16th. Released now?
I thought it was. I think it's out.
You know,
if
I was,
it's not out, people are playing it already.
I've been in that game since the closed beta started. I never played it.
Like I said, I'm kind of beyond
I was never allowed
this.
To talk about it, which I think I killed my excitement to play because I wouldn't be able to talk about it on the show.
Like I said, I'm kind of beyond the RTS genre in a lot of ways. Like, I played StarCraft II just because I'm just pulled in by Blizzard's insane production values, mm-hmm. which they can afford. There's El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron, PS3 and 360. That's August 16th. Bastion and From Dusk are coming on PC this week. So
I feel like From Dusk on PC would be pretty good.
Yeah, I think it would be. I assume you get to use a mouse.
Yeah.
Just point and click. No More Heroes, Heroes Paradise for PS3.
Could not care less.
And yeah, you never got
I'm sorry, can I go on a quick rant?
About what, No More Heroes?
About Suda51 and Japanese games like this.
Are you going to talk bad about Japanese games again? Yes.
No, this is my only thing.
Okay.
Like, Suda51 announces new game. The one where, like, you're some high school teenager with a chainsaw busting zombies. And I was like, oh my god, that sounds so cool. It's so crazy. I bet it's going to be awesome, because she's a girl with a chainsaw. Like, that's so weird. And she's going to fight zombies. There's, like, a doll head hanging from the chainsaw. That's so crazy and creative. But here's the thing, Mike. If I came to you and said, hey, did you hear about Suda51's new game? No, tell me about it. Okay, so you play this guy. Satan kidnaps your girlfriend. So you're going to go through hell to get her. And you fight, like, these demon babies and, like, this giant naked chick at one point. It's super fucked up. The internet be like, oh, my God, Suda51's a genius. That was Dante's Inferno. That's all I'm saying. You take the pitch of Dante's Inferno, but don't say Dante and say Suda51's making it, and everyone will call it this crazy, creative, super cool game. Like, everyone gets all excited about these games. How do they play? Dog shit. I played No More Heroes. Played like dog shit. I don't care that Travis Touchdown takes a poop and that's how you save the game, because that's so clever. The game plays like shit. Maybe it makes sense. I don't know.
The whole poop save thing makes a lot of sense now. I didn't know that,
it's
by
like
the way.
Everyone gets so excited because it's so goofy. But I'm like, who cares? I don't like the way they play.
I will admit that they get probably far too much credit, and they probably get far too much, like, mileage is out of being wacky.
Right. They do it and it's creative. Western developers do it. It's like, oh, this is stupid.
Like, yeah. And, you know, to say, like, Catherine has some of that too, and it kind of works. And I know that you would probably not like that stuff in there, but I'll agree. I don't get Suda 51.
You look at all the Atlus games. There's demons that are penises. Come on.
Yeah, but you're going to have.
I was like, oh, it's so kitschy and funny.
Okay, but
no,
you're
going to
have a hard
penis.
Time convincing me that some of the Shin Megami Tensei games are, like, anything but
I'm just saying.
Great. You never really got in for Persona, even. 3 or 4, huh?
No.
Those are great games.
I know.
Fair enough, though.
Okay, rant
so
over.
You're not getting No More Heroes.
No. That's the moral of the story.
Atomic City Adventures, The Case of the Black Dragon for PC.
That I'm going to buy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, Toy Soldiers Cold War for Xbox Arcade. I guess some people are excited about this.
Toy Soldiers was fairly popular.
I guess so. I mean, I didn't even realize that there was a first Toy Soldiers when I played this game at E3. It seemed like a very bland tower defense.
It somehow ties into a PC experience, I think.
I could not have cared more for it.
Yeah.
Troy Online, apparently some sort of free MMO. Blah, blah, blah. Jerry Rice
and Nidus Dog Football.
For Wii. Oh, that sounds funny.
Oh, it's actually like dog football. The ultimate pet sports.
I can't even imagine.
Nidus must be Jerry Rice's dog.
Space Pirates and Zombies. I wonder if that's like Plants and Zombies. Or Zombies and Plants. Whichever order it is.
Plants and Zombies. I don't think so.
Blah, blah, blah. Crap, crap, crap. Okay, that's it. Anything else you want to talk about?
It's hot as balls in here. I have my MacBook on my lap, too, which isn't helping.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. So, all right. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel.
I know we said last week, like, Sunday's a day. Late Sunday. Like,
I would just say
Monday morning.
I would just say Monday, to be honest. But so, where was I? Oh yeah, twitter.com/explainingbarrel, facebook.com/explainingbarrel. Go there, look at the question for the week, which again is, do you think? Keep wanting to say Call of Duty. Counter-Strike. You think Counter-Strike will be able to compete with Call of Duty and Battlefield?
I'd also be curious to hear your thoughts on my recent rant.
Sure, yeah. If you think AJ's wrong and you love Travis' touchdown and his poop saves, let have AJ what for.
Also, I just want to say Spotify is awesome.
Thank you. Did I miss anything? iTunes, Zoom.
Zoom.
Thank you.
Tell your friends.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. Gonna find a way to beat the heat. Maybe we should just go swimming. Christ.
We could. It's open 24 hours. For...
Yeah, it might be too cold outside, though. We'll test it out.
Is it raining still? I don't know. It was storming earlier.
Yeah. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time right here on the Explode and Barrel Podcast.
Bye. Bye-bye.